And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We are delighted that you're here today, gathered with us in this place to worship. I want to start with one announcement. You'll see it on the insert at the bottom of your the little insert there. We're going to try something this year that we haven't done in a long time. As we continue to try to make Easter that significant moment that it is, we're going to gather for a sunrise service on Easter Sunday at 6:45. And we're going to follow that with a breakfast. And if we have anybody that attends, we're going to maybe next year follow the whole services in a much more concise way, to where we will go with the sunrise service, maybe a breakfast, maybe Sunday school, and maybe worship, and we will be done. But I need you to help me today, and I know I've just sprung it on you. Right? Take a deep breath. Okay. If you think right now, because Steve Cotton's got to cook your breakfast, and he doesn't know whether to cook for 5 or for 50 or for 500. So,
we decided our Baptist men direction, we're not going to do a full head of breakfast. We're going to do donuts, fruit, bagels.
All right.
Along that line. So,
now you know what the menu is. Okay? But I've got a question for you. If you think that would be a significant part of your worship and something that you're able to do and something you'd like to do, would you indicate that by just lifting your hand right now? Don't be ashamed. Now some of them say, boy, I didn't lift my hand, I feel shameful. Well, don't feel that way if you don't. Okay, that's 75 or 80 people that just raised their hands. So I think 35 probably be here. I'm just kidding. I think maybe 100 will be here, and that would be good. We'll meet out in the cemetery. It'll be about a 30-minute service. And we'll evaluate it after this year, and we'll go from there. But please note that, and thank you for thinking about that. My goal on Easter Sunday, on the holiest day of the year, is for us to worship in a way that is meaningful to our families and to our God. So I hope that could be a part of that. There are other announcements that are in your bulletin. I hope that you will note them. There are many things that are coming. You see the Friends and Family Day on April the 15th. You'll see the senior adult ministry opportunities that are coming. Hope that you'll be involved with them. There is much going on, and we are grateful for all of it and all of the opportunities we have to worship together. Are there any announcements not in the bulletin or that need to come before us today? All right, then, as we now change our focus to the Lord's table, we at Flat Springs enjoy what we call an open communion, in that we invite all baptized believers to come to the table with us, whether you are a member of our congregation or not. And I think this is one of the most sacred services that we do. It's when we literally hold in our hand, as Jesus told us to do, a piece of bread to remember him, and a cup to recall his price for our salvation. Our worship today, we'll do something a little different in our message. We're going to go to the end of communion before we go to communion. We're going to the garden with Jesus today, that garden called Gethsemane. And for just a moment or two, I pray we won't do like the apostles and fall asleep. But I pray that we will focus upon what Jesus did for us. And as we go with him to the garden, what he's going to do for us. And the struggle that he has with what lays before him. And we might recognize how much we're loved. As he literally will become victorious in what to all the world looks like defeat. And he'll give us a lesson when life is hard for us as well. Would you take a moment now, and as our instruments play, prepare yourself to go to the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus. Lord, sometimes it's hard to forget about ourselves. But maybe we could do it if we really focus on who you are in our life and we magnify who you are. And we recognize that you are our God. And you love us with a love that changes our circumstances, our situations, and our eternity. And that you desire good for us. And you have a plan for us to move us ever closer to who you are as we walk by faith. Heavenly Father, we pray that you might now take these next few moments and let us experience what it would be like if we really worship you with all our strength. We really listen for your voice. We really strive to connect to you. And how we'll leave this place different should we choose to do that. That's our goal, that's our hope, and that's our prayer. And we make it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn number 354, I Love Thy Kingdom, Lord, the stanza we sing.
I love thy kingdom, Lord. Let us pray. Our dear and most gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks for all the many, many blessings you have done for us and given to us. As we bow our heads, close our eyes, we give thanks for lighting our light. And we ask that you allow that light to shine, that we share that light, and that we never hide that light, dear Lord. Please accept and bless these tithes and offerings to be used to help our little light shine bright, if be thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Baseball here with me today, right? No? What's this? Why do you reckon I bought a basketball? What do you think? Do what? The lesson. Does anybody know that there's a ball game tomorrow night? Does anybody know there's a ball game tomorrow night? Does anybody care there's a ball game tomorrow night? Well, there it is. Anybody know there was a ball game yesterday? Yeah, then what ball game am I talking about today? With this. With basketball. Well, the Final Four, y'all weren't in the Final Four. We may just need to say a prayer and go on home. Y'all bet on y'all knowing because Carolina played basketball yesterday in the Final Four. And they played a team called Oregon. Right? Anybody know about that? Yeah. And they lost. Did you know that? Carolina lost like yesterday. Y'all know that? The folks out there were getting kind of strange. What happened, and what I was going to say, but y'all weren't keeping up with this game. What I was going to tell you was that there was a time when Carolina was losing. It was 39-31. They were down by 8 points. And they were 5-1 in reality. And they're going to play in that game tomorrow night. And that's why I brought the basketball. So let me put it back down right now. Because today we're going to talk in the big sermon, and when we come to that table over there to do communion, that sometimes in life we may feel like we're losing. Just like if I said Carolina lost because they were behind by Heavenly Father, we are grateful that sometimes in life we make mistakes. And sometimes in life we may not be as successful or even as happy as we need to be. But you've told us, Lord, that if we'll keep putting our trust in you, you'll give us strength to see it through the end, and ultimately, we will be victorious. We thank you for that promise that is made so genuinely real in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Thank you for that.
We're going to sing 365 in remembrance. But I want to point out the words toward the end of the song. It says, in remembrance of me, don't look above, but in your heart, look in your heart for God. Let's stand as we sing, 365.
Psalm 40, 1 through 6. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry for help. He pulled me out of a horrible pit, out of the mud and clay. He set my feet on a rock and made my steps secure. He placed a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see this and worship. They will trust the Lord. Blessed is the person who places his confidence in the Lord and does not rely on arrogant people or those who follow lies. You have done many miraculous things, O Lord my God. You have made many wonderful plans for us. No one compares to you. I will tell others about your miracles, which are more than I can count. You were not pleased with sacrifices and offerings.
realize. The psalmists are such powerful, honest people who share with us exactly how authentic worship is to be accomplished. In just a moment, we're going to be reminded that even Jesus on the cross referred to the Psalms. As we pray today, you may have noticed me check my phone a moment ago. I had asked Davis to give me a text because apparently Bill Cotton's blood pressure is very, very low right now, and they're calling a nurse. They may be taking him on to more regional. We want to keep Bill lifted up in our prayers in a very special way. We also want to continue to remember Ken Jackson, the family of Ken Jackson, in our prayers. Ken's service was here yesterday. We want to be remembering Karen and Amanda in our prayers. The name I'd like to add to our list is that of Jimmy Brown. Jimmy has undergone, that's Clifford and Eleanor's son-in-law, has undergone heart valve replacement and is recuperating from that. And maybe you saw this morning, and I heard it as I was driving over to church, of the disaster that has struck Columbia. The last I heard, the death toll was around 234, and I'm not sure it is through climbing yet, but we want to be remembering that tragedy as well. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we live in bodies that Paul was right. He called them vessels made of clay, fragile, temporary. And yet sometimes, Lord, we get confused. And we think that these bodies are eternal, and this earth is all there is. Heavenly Father, would you in this moment, as we have sung of remembering you, as we lift your name above every name, would you remind us, O God, that you have such greater plans for us. That eye has not seen, nor ear even been able to hear, the glory that you have prepared. And would you help us to recognize that our opportunity down here has less to do with acquiring stuff and more to do with sharing your grace and your love. And would you help us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our spirit in your presence and in your word, which is our reasonable worship. And now, Lord, as we travel with our Savior, on the worst night of his life and the greatest night in our eternity, you help us to go with Jesus, that we might live and leave with Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our passage is going to stop rather abruptly in the midst of the moment of the Garden of Gethsemane. We're going to read Matthew's account, chapter 26. We're just going to read verses 36 through 39. You'll know that Jesus prays his prayer three times. We're only going to read the first prayer. You'll know that this is the place that Jesus has just left the upper room, and he just had instituted the Lord's Supper that we'll share here in just a few moments. He's gone to that prepared place, that place in the garden, the oil press, Gethsemane stands for, and Someone said that there are still 8 trees that live in that garden called Gethsemane that were 100 years old when Jesus prayed there. Just one of those moments that makes you think about things. We're going to go with Jesus. I have read this passage maybe 100 times. I don't know how many. But as I was thinking about the opposite, you remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about one who had all of his energy on the earthly journey. And the title of the sermon was, When Defeat Feels Like Victory. And you remember how that passage, that story Jesus told ended? When he said, you fool, tonight you're going to stand before God and give an account. And you thought you were winning and you were losing the whole time. Well, today, on this just 3 Sundays before Easter, I want us to go with Jesus. Because we're going to be in a moment where victory feels like defeat. We're going to see where Jesus felt the weight of the world on his shoulders, literally. We're going to understand as best we can the desperation of the moment of Gethsemane. The desperation when the humanity of Christ and the divinity of Christ clashed as never before. Maybe there's someone here today who is struggling. Struggling with your walk, with your experience with God. Then today come to the garden and see how Jesus handled such a moment as this. Our text is Matthew chapter 26. We're going to read verses 36 through 39. If you're able, I'd invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of this portion of this gospel. And then Jesus went with them to the place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And take him with him, Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee. He began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little further, he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, My Father, if it's possible, there's another way. If there's any other way, let the cross, he calls it the cup, let the cup pass from me. Nevertheless, the largest word in the text, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, help us to see as you saw on that dreadful night. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I guess one of the things about sports that challenges and encourages us is we always like to see those spectacular moments, those snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. And 1994, the Kentucky Wildcats were down against LSU by 31 points at the 15 minute 30 second mark. And at the end of the game, they had rallied from behind to win. In 2003, the Colts scored 21 points in the final 5 minutes of the Monday night football game. They had been trailing Tampa Bay 28-7, and they won the game 38-35. In 2004, the Red Sox were down 3 games in the ALCS playoffs against the Yankees. And never before had a team come back from 3 down to win. Until the Red Sox did it in 2004. And in 2001, Duke trailed Maryland by 22 points at the halftime. Coach K called a timeout, and he said, "You guys," I guess this is a Coach K thing, he says, "You guys are losing by so much. You can't play any worse. What are you worried about? Relax. Go out there and play." Duke won 95-84. Well, losing at a sporting event, that's one thing. But losing in life, that's something altogether different. You see, defeat doesn't happen in events. If you are a follower of college basketball, you'll know Duke lost. And they were expected to win the whole thing. But no one will ever call the Duke program a failure, because they have sustainedly won so much. How about us in life? Maybe today there's someone here who's facing some major event that's going poorly. It's going bad, but is our core okay? That's our question. For you see, no single event can define us. And I think that's what Jesus recognized in the garden. Here's what I want to say to us this morning, and I really want us to deal with it, because I believe that it might change how we deal with Easter. You see, for us, if you're a believer here today, the greatest stress that you're going to have in your life is sin. I don't mean in passing, but to recognize that sin really does interfere. We've tried to analyze the problem with the church, and there are folks that are spending thousands of times. I get mail all the time, how to get people to come to church, how to get people to reconnect to Bible study, how to get people to pray, how to get people to give, how to get people to love the Lord. And I'm just silly enough and simple enough to know, or at least to believe, it's all what we do with sin. It really matters. You see, if we begin to wander away from God, if sin begins to pull us away from God, we start that little journey, and maybe it's just a passing little sin, and maybe we just will find that it interfered a little bit with our prayer life. It interfered a little bit with our Bible study, but not a whole lot. But then suddenly that unrepented sin grew a little bigger, and it interfered a little more, and we drifted a little further away. We prayed a little less, and we studied a little less, and then suddenly we began to serve a little less, and then we began to think differently. I can tell you numerous people that I've known, and I bet you know some people, that at one time they were just totally committed to the Lord. They were totally, I mean, they were here every time the doors were open. They were serving in every way they could. And then in time, it began to be a little less, and then in more time, a little less, until Maybe it's been a while since we saw them. It happens, doesn't it? Sin robs us of our joy. And when your salvation joy is gone, your salvation service will be impacted. Understanding that our sin injures our relationship with God, that it robs us of our joy, that it interferes with our witness. Now, I got to say something. If you're here today and you're an unrepentant sinner, you've never asked Christ to forgive your sin, I've got to tell you, brother or sister of mine, you're lost. You're undone. Eternity's not your friend. Hell is a reality. Christ died to provide a different outcome for you. But if your sin is not repented, it separates you from a holy God. And that's ultimate defeat. And then I want to say in the very same vein that if you're here today and you're a believer, but there's sin in your life that you haven't dealt with, then there's brokenness in your walk with God, and you experience the pain of loss. You see, our church is pretty typical of a lot of churches. Folks say, you'll meet somebody. I bet they don't do this to you. I guess because I'm a preacher, they do it to me. But when I start, they'll say, you're a pastor. About the third question they're going to ask me, oh, what size is your church? I about decide next time it's 25,000. I'm just going to throw that out there and see what their face does. Because I guess in the culture, size matters, does it? But I remember as a young boy. Now, granted, I was licensed to preach when I was 15. So I've been eating and drinking this stuff forever. But I remember even back then they would say that half of what you have on your roll will show up in church. Y'all ever heard anything about that? Do you know what our membership is? You know what the membership of Flat Springs Baptist Church is? And now maybe some of you are saying, well, which membership are you talking about, preacher? And that's a good question. That's a good question. Because there are members of this church that haven't been, I've been here going on 12 and a half years. There's members that hadn't been here since I've been here. Why? Sin. That's it. Sin. Satan. He's cunning, isn't he? He understands that we may go to our Facebook page and put down all kind of Bible verses and all kind of religious things, wonderful prayers. We might cut and paste, or we might go find some wonderful article and we'll attach it to our page. But we won't pray. We won't pray like we ought to. You know what interferes with our prayer more than anything? Sin. Unrepented sin. You see, that is that one thing that Christ came to deal with. That's what he's struggling with in this garden. That's why this garden is so hard, this garden called Gethsemane. Because he knew that he came to overcome sin. He came. Well, Paul says it best. For our sake, he made him to be sin, talking about Jesus, who knew no sin. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus in the garden is saying to the Father, I know we designed this plan before we put the earth before we even drew up the blueprints of how we were going to make it. But is there any other way? Because Jesus was about to experience a very difficult moment, a very tough moment. You see, what's going to clash is this humanity. He's about to be betrayed. Judas, while Jesus is in there praying, Judas is before betraying. While Jesus is praying, Judas is betraying. Isn't that wild? And the disciples who have been with Jesus for 3 years, they're fixing to scatter. You know where they're going to scatter? In this garden. They're fixing to run out of this garden like something's after them because something is after them. He knows the gruesomeness of the torture and the humiliation and the pain of the cross. And he's 30 years old. He's 30 years old. The Bible says in Matthew 27:45 that from noon until 3 o'clock, while Jesus is on the cross, that a great darkness falls on the earth. And then Jesus begins to quote at the end of that darkness, Psalms 21. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now if you go on and read that psalm, you'll find that it ends in an ultimate praise and an ultimate victory. But in this moment, Jesus realizes that when Gary McCullough just decides instead of to pray, he's going to play. That when Gary McCullough decides instead of worship, he's going to do something he wants to do like he wants to do it. Instead of sharing a word with a lost friend, he's just going to not put himself out or put himself in that position. All that's pounding on Jesus' shoulders right now. And that's just me. You're pounding on him too. We're all pounding on Jesus at this moment. His sin, and he who knew no sin has become my sin and your sin. Those disciples, he's got their sin on his shoulder. He's got Judas' sin on his shoulder. He's got Cain's sin on his shoulder. He's got Goliath's sin on his shoulder. He's got the whole world. He's got all the sin that ever was and all the sin that ever will be. And he says, God, do I have to do this? Do I have to do this? You see, the word itself doesn't even sound bad. Sin. Just a little word, three-letter word, little sin. You ever said that, little sin? Little sin? There is no such thing, by the way. Its cumulative effect in our life is like raindrops that can ultimately erode a rock. Little sin. No, it's just sin. It's not a little word, it's a big thing. You see, Jesus is now in this moment, in this garden, he's feeling defeated. He's feeling whipped. Is Jesus whipped today? You know, if I just listen to what I read and what I hear, I'd say Jesus lost. It was a great plan. He tried to pull it off. He almost got there. We were doing pretty good a few years ago, but not now. He's behind and the time's running out. And I'm not sure he can stage a comeback, Jesus. Well, I think that's what Jesus felt in the garden. I really do. Jesus, he's feeling it all. He prayed, God, is there any way out? But then he gave us that word, nevertheless, not my will. Do you want to win with Christ today? We all do, I believe. I don't think you'd be here if you didn't want to win. Then, here's what I want to say. In just a moment, we're coming to this table. You're going to hold in your hand, I'm going to hold in my hand a piece of bread. I don't know, but I want you to look at it while you're holding it. And I want you to just in your mind keep hearing one thing Jesus said. If you could go just a couple of hours before he's in this garden to where he's in that upper room and he's taking a piece of bread and he's broken it and he's giving it to his disciples and Gethsemane is waiting. Judas is already left the room and is gone to do the betrayal. The soldiers are getting ready. The Romans already have the cross made. The nails are already forged. And I want you to see Jesus as he hands that bread out and says, "Take and eat it. This is my body, and it's broken for you." And when you hold that little cup, I want you to hold it. And as you hold it, I want you to see the thorns come down upon his brow and the blood that begins to trickle down in his eyes and in his nose and in his mouth. I want you to see the blood that oozes from his wrist and from his feet. That's what he was talking about. That's what he was talking about. He says, "Take and drink. This is my blood. And I shed it for you." And he didn't shed it for them. He shed it for you. And he shed it for me. Jesus felt like he had lost when he recognized the monument of the cross. And someone has said, you know the way God answered that prayer that Jesus prayed in the garden? It wasn't that God didn't hear his prayer. And it wasn't that God didn't answer his prayer. You see, he prayed, "Let the cup pass." The way God answered that prayer was on Easter Sunday when Jesus rose from the dead. Because, why? Because of that "nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done." Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in this moment, would you speak to us? Would you help us to understand that it is at your table, Lord, that we will find victory, even though to the world it may look like defeat. You help us win. In Christ's name we pray.
Thank you. Before we come to the Lord's table, we need a moment of decision, a moment of reflection, a moment as though we were going, before we ate a meal, to wash our hands, to prepare for the feast we're about to receive. Would you take a moment right now, bow your head, speak to God, and prepare yourself for the holy event. Lord, you hear the decisions that we are making. We thank you for the victory that even though it felt like defeat, still you won. And you won for us. So receive us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We now come to observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper given to us to celebrate in memory of his broken body and his shed blood. He said that on the night before he was betrayed, at the conclusion of the feast of the Passover, which he and his disciples were celebrating, he took bread and he blessed it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you." Heavenly Father, thank you for your love that passes our understanding. Thank you for the sacrifice of the cross, that you took my sin upon you and you provided a way for me and my sinful condition to come into the presence of a holy God forever and for always. Thank you for that blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Jesus is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and then died. He that eateth this bread shall live. And he said, on that same night, our Lord took a cup and he gave it to his disciples and he said, this is my blood and I shed it for you. Heavenly Father, each of us here in this moment have our physical blood pumping through our bodies, carrying oxygen and nutrition and life. And when we think of the cross, we realize that the cross is our eternal heart, and the blood that it pumps forth gives us eternal life. And we thank you for Christ. And we thank you for the cross, although it breaks our heart. In Jesus' name. According to the law, I may almost say that all things are cleansed through the shedding of blood, and apart from the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus our Lord cleanseth us from all our sin. After our Lord had done that first Lord's Supper, it says they sang a hymn. In a moment we'll sing the first stanza, "Blessed Be the Tithe," our closing prayer. He went out to the garden called Gethsemane. There he'd be arrested when Judas Iscariot would bring the guard from the Sanhedrin. He'd be carried before the Sanhedrin, and then before Herod, ultimately for Pontius Pilate, and ultimately condemned to die. They would lead him from Pilate's court through the cities of Jerusalem, through the streets of Jerusalem, outside the city walls, up a hill, the Hill of Skulls, Golgotha, Calvary. There they'd nail him to a cross, and there he would hang until he died. He'd be taken from that cross and placed in a tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And that was Friday, the first day. And then Saturday would come, the second day. And then on the third day, that Sunday, that first day of the week, the women went to anoint his body because they couldn't go on that Sabbath day, that Saturday. And when they got to the tomb, the stone had been rolled away. The Roman guard lay as dead men, and an angel appeared to them and said, "Why seek the living among the dead? Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead." Brothers and sisters, you and I can leave this place and do no less than go and tell the world he has risen from the dead. Would you take hands with the person next to you? I'd invite the deacons to join me here. Claire, you're going to have to go two ways. There you go. And let us close this moment of worship by singing together our closing hymn and our closing prayer. Blessed be the time.